Right now it is time to be joined by Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us, of course, on a Monday morning, rebroadcast also during the week at the noontime hour and on weekends as well. And we welcome him in on this Memorial Day. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. It's actually going to be a gorgeous day today.
Arthur, we were talking about this with some people yesterday. I cannot remember when we had a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday where we had beautiful weather for Memorial Day.
Beautiful weather.
Yeah. 4 days. It's amazing.
Well, and it's super gorgeous here. So I'm sure it's exquisitely gorgeous there.
It's gorgeous.
Anyway, I used to feel that. You know, on days like this in the northwest corner, it's like it's probably the best place to be on Earth. Now, if you like to cook outdoors, today's a perfect day for it, too. Not too hot, not windy. I don't cook outdoors. Even when I had an outdoors to cook in, I didn't do much of that. I'm not sure what that is says about me, but I'm an indoor cook. But I did make some incredible lamb burgers last night, if we want to call them burgers. And I'll give you a recipe. But how this evolved, me making lamb burgers last night, is that I have just discovered, something I normally would pass by in the meat case, branded meats. These are meats that come in vacuum packages. They could possibly be frozen at some point because they're coming from Australia. The name of the brand is Thomas Farms. Now, I have tried these products before because that's my job, and I've never been impressed, but this evolved, my buying the Thomas Farms evolved from the fact that we're going through a big supermarket revolution in my neighborhood. There's a new place I've talked about called Union Market. There's an old place that I haven't shopped in for years except for maybe a can of something because they're horrible and there's no prices on anything. And they appear to be going out of business even though they're denying it. And then there's a third supermarket that I shop in because it has a parking lot. And they did a lockout of their meat department. Huh. Which is, I did not notice that there were, in the front of the building, there were pickets, there was a picket line, because I came in through the parking lot. But then, I must say, a week later, they had one of those big rats out on the sidewalk. I don't mean a real rat. I mean,
no.
The unions do this when
I've seen
when
them.
Management, yeah. So, So you go into the supermarket and everything is plentiful except there's no meat in the case. So that should have been a giveaway the first time. But there was no, I usually do the meat thing last, and I don't often buy meat at this supermarket. But anyway, I did. I wanted to that day, and I go to the meat department, and they only had two things in the whole, I don't know, 25 feet of meat case. They had a branded chicken, meaning it's a name brand chicken that is vacuum packaged and actually has a frighteningly long shelf life. If you pick up a package of chicken, any chicken actually, I'm not sure I want to name the brand here. I'll think about it. You're going to see that even if today is what? May 27th?
Yep.
Yeah, you might have a last day of sale at the end of the first week in June. That seems like a long
time, yeah.
For chicken to be in the case. But that was the case, and I needed some chicken, so I bought a package of chicken, and then I saw that there was this branded beef coming in vacuum packages, big blocks of it, one-pound blocks of it, and they had 15% lean ground beef. They had 80-20. They had a 90-something, single-digit fat. And so I bought a package of, I think I bought 85-15. although I usually buy 80-20. I think maybe all they had was it. Anyway, now I know they have all these different fat, lean percentages. So I made hamburgers with it. I wanted to just taste the meat for its own sake, so I didn't do anything except when I make a hamburger is I spread the meat out a little bit on a plate and salt and pepper it, and then push it all back together again. This way, at least to have salt and pepper inside. I always feel like people just salt and pepper the outside of a burger, and then what's inside? So I do that, and I don't regard highly the advice of you shouldn't handle the burger. You can hand in some cases. In case I'm going to tell you now, you actually can knead the meat to great success. In any case, in this case, I don't knead the meat. I salt and pepper it. I gather it back up. I make a patty, and then I salt and pepper the outside of the... Actually, I just salt the outside of the patty because I don't like cooking peppercorns at very high heat, which is what I'm going to do with this burger. So I made burgers, and they were fabulous. And I have bought other grass-fed beef, other so-called free-range beef. I'm not sure what the difference is. I mean, if they're out on the range, they're eating grass. And for those who don't understand what the difference is most American beef is grain-fed. They're allowed to be out in the pastures until a certain age, and then they're put in confined areas, boxes, cages, and allowed to eat enormous amounts of corn and whatever other grains they're giving them. I think it's mainly corn. Corn-fed Iowa beef, remember that? So nobody talks about that anymore. But in any case, because the food police say it's not a good thing. On the other hand, I love the taste of grain-fed beef. I grew up on it. I'm probably never going to lose that taste. A lot of people in my generation don't like the flavor of grass-fed beef. It is different. It's leaner.
It also cooks different.
You know, I haven't found, this Thomas Farms, I haven't found it at Cook's anymore.
Really?
No. I put my burgers, I make 8-ounce burgers, that's a big burger, and I put them in a scorchingly hot black iron skillet, meaning I leave that skillet over high heat for at least 5 minutes, but usually longer. And then I do 3 minutes per side, which is plenty of time to get a really good sear on them. And then depending on how you want them in the end, you know, rare, medium well, you either, well, if they don't have a good sear at that point, flip them over and cook them another minute or two, then flip them over. There's nothing wrong with flipping them over once you get that good initial sear, which does take 3 minutes. So don't move them for 3 minutes. And you could just lower the heat. I do this sometimes, to the lowest possible. And on the second side, the pan is already scorchingly hot. So they will get a good sear, but I cook them for about 5 minutes. And then I flip them over again once more. See how the juices are running. I still want them to run pink, but not red. I feel the middle of the hamburger with my finger, and if it's really squishy, that means it's rare, and if it's bouncing back in a certain way, I know it's medium rare and medium. I don't want them more than medium. And that's it, and that's all I do. So that's simple. Now, the meat did not have that, I don't know how else to describe it, grass flavor that other grass-fed meat I have bought has, and I've tried several different kinds. But so this is a branded product, and it comes from Australia, where they have enormous stretches of grassy pasture for animals to eat. That said, I bought the Australian lamb the other day, because they had that in the store, and I hadn't seen that before. And as a friend from Ireland told me, He, by the way, this man was at one time a history professor, PhD professor, who gave it all up to become a shepherd in his early 40s. So he explained once that lamb is the only pure meat. Well, of course, he's going to say that because he's a shepherd. But also, he points out, there is no such thing as grain-fed sheep. Sheep have to be pastured. That's why there's a profession for him, of shepherd. It's the person who watches over the sheep when they're out in the pasture.
That's not much, that's not much different of being a teacher.
Well, you got a point there. So he's much happier as a farmer. By the way, he is a shepherd. He does tend the sheep, but he does grow other things on his farm. He does growth stuff on his farm, vegetables. But by the way, food in Ireland, people make fun of it, but it's extraordinary because they have a very pure environment. And the food is very fresh. It's a small country. Doesn't have to travel far. They have long growing seasons. That's why it's always green in Ireland, because it rains all the time, and the temperature is moderate.
No, but all so, kidding. All
even kidding. Though I've been to Ireland with snow, but it doesn't last very long. It usually melts in a day or so.
But all kidding aside, especially given that there is a movement, it's quite important to eat the food from where you're from.
Well, I'm eating Australian.
I know you are.
So there we go.
Forgetting that for one second. Yeah, Irish angle.
I have
angle.
Yet to find local meat, and I have tried. For instance, my Whole Foods here in Brooklyn sells meat that's raised in Connecticut and New Jersey. And upstate New York, no doubt, too, but I haven't encountered that. But I have encountered Jersey lamb and Connecticut beef. And neither of them tasted any good to me.
You know, we're very lucky here, Arthur. We have two local places, Whippoorwill Farm and also the one on Route 44 at Amenia, Maplebrook Farms. They serve local.
But you have to say that in the case of beef, grain-fed, which is what most people are used to, and grass-fed don't taste the same.
Correct.
They don't.
They don't taste the same.
Lebon's brought in years ago Montana grass-fed beef. All organic and everything, and
that's pretty
they cut down on their USDA prime. Guess what? Customers complained, and they had to offer the same amount of the regular beef versus the grass fed beef because it tasted different.
Do you remember?
In the case of a steak, it's leaner. So when you said you have to cook it differently, I'm sure you. If you cooked a grass-fed steak without all the marbling of a prime grain-fed steak, you would definitely have to cook it less.
I bought a grass-fed years ago stand-up prime beef, and I cooked it. I made the mistake of cooking it the same time that I cooked the regular beef?
Yeah.
I ruined $55 worth of beef.
Yeah, leather. You had leather.
Yeah, and between the leather and the taste, and I'm sure it has everything to do with how you grow up, because like you, I spent my time at different steakhouse. Between Peter Luger's, Frank's. Remember Frank's?
Oh, yes. Frank's in the meatpacking.
In the meatpacking district, with the...
Right.
Yeah.
All the meatpackers would go.
That's right. And then they moved.
But they didn't eat steak, if I remember. The meatpackers ate all ate offal. And what I loved about Frank's is that I got to eat, liver and whatever.
It was so good. It was so well prepared.
Things that I didn't get elsewhere.
Right. But I would go. We would go to Frank's for steaks, and it was just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, they had great steaks. I think Frank's still exists in the form of a meat market in the Chelsea market. No?
Does it? What happened is they moved north into what became Chelsea. They moved off 14th and Gansevoort, and they moved.
Well, there is a Frank's meat market in the Chelsea market, and I think that's the descendants of Frank's from the...
And at the time, the kids, it's a family. Never underestimate the benefits of a family business that stay in the family.
So So back, but back to actual meat.
Well, before that,
So it does make a, taste difference and a cooking difference in the case of beef. But in the case of lamb, all lamb is grass-fed. There's no difference in, you know, only the difference in breeds, the environment, la-da-da-da-da. So for my money, Australian lamb, which is has been in our market for 25 years at least, is very, very mild lamb. It's the lamb for people who don't like lamb. On the other hand, American lamb, like Colorado lamb, has, you know, some oomph to it, I think. And I'm not talking about mutton. I'm talking about, you know, young lamb. New Zealand, I think, is in the same category as Australian. It's very mild lamb. So that said, I bought a pound of Australian lamb. This Thomas Farms brand said they come in 1 pound blocks. I made something that actually you could make with any beef, any ground meat, because it's so highly seasoned that it sort of doesn't matter what the base meat is. But I made it with the lamb, and they were sensational. So these are, I call them kefta burgers, as does Joyce Goldstein, whose recipe this is. Joyce was a pioneer restaurateur from California who did a restaurant called Greens that became, you know, a beacon for vegetarian restaurants way back when. Nowadays, well, I shouldn't say nowadays, but 25 years, I guess, at least, Joyce has been writing cookbooks, and her specialty is Jewish cooking around the world. And this recipe comes from her new Mediterranean Jewish cookbook, which I saw this morning is still selling nicely on Amazon. And it's no wonder. I actually cooked from this book before it was published, and this is the recipe that became something I make at least once a year for the last 2 or 3 years. It's a perfect Memorial Day barbecue recipe, and it's Joyce's kefta burgers. What do we mean by kefta? Kefta is a word for a ground meat, usually a skewer. Kefta, or it could be baked in a casserole. I mean, there are different kefta, a lot of different keftas. In this case, this is Joyce's original idea, make them into burgers. I'm sure somebody in Israel, Jordan, wherever, makes them into burgers. But anyway, here's the recipe. It's very easy, but it does require some ingredients you might have to go out and buy. I didn't have to go out and buy anything except, I'll get to it. Start out with the pound of ground lamb. As I said, I think you could make this with a pound of ground beef, 85-15, or even 80-20, and you'd be fine. Joyce calls for a half of an onion. It was too vague for me. I used a 4-ounce onion, white onion, normal onion, well, yellow onion. And I grated it on the coarse, into the lamb, bowl with the lamb, on the coarse side of my box grater. And then Joyce calls for 3 cloves of garlic, minced. What I did was I used 3 cloves of garlic, 3 nice size, not enormous, but nice size cloves of garlic. And I, just because I saw somebody do this on TV and I'd never done it before, I grated it on my microplane, a new use for the microplane. It doesn't, you know, it becomes like garlic puree, which is fine in this case. If you mince it, just chop it very fine. 4 tablespoons, which is really a quarter of a cup, of finely chopped flat-leaf parsley, Italian parsley. You're throwing this all into the bowl with the 1 pound of meat. And now the dry ingredients. A teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of Aleppo pepper. Now, Aleppo hardly exists anymore. But the pepper, apparently, is still being called Aleppo pepper. And it is a not-that-hot hot pepper that has an edge flavor of sweetness. And I had some in the house, but it was pretty old. And I felt, and it's also, it just didn't smell quite right. So fortunately, my fancy supermarket around the corner has Aleppo pepper. So a teaspoon of Aleppo pepper. I'm sure you can buy it online too. It's a nice ingredient to have because I use it for a lot of things, even though my stuff is old now. A teaspoon of cumin. Well, I'll repeat: a teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of Aleppo pepper, a teaspoon of cumin, and a teaspoon of Joyce calls for sweet paprika. I used hot paprika, but then I left out the pinch of cayenne pepper, and it was fine. A half a teaspoon of black pepper, a half a teaspoon of cinnamon, and a quarter of a teaspoon of ground ginger, if you happen to have it in the closet. You mix this all together, and in this case, not lightly, you really knead it. Really squish it all. You have to use your hands. I mean, if you can't use your hands to mix ground meat, you can't call yourself a cook. But if you can't, use a big fork. It works a lot better than a spoon. And I've done that in front of people who are squeamish about my squishing it with my hands. And I made four burgers with this. They're very moist burgers because you've got all that grated onion in it. And what I didn't count for is that when I was searing these, on the first side, like I do a hamburger, for 3 minutes in my searingly hot skillet, the onion content became a little bit more than just caramelized. There was some black spots. But you know what? They were delicious anyway. And then what I did was what I described before about regular hamburgers. I turned my heat down to the lowest possible, turned over the burgers, and let them cook for 5 minutes on the second side, by which the second side was also very well browned. And they were, I would call them medium. There may have been a hint of pink in the middle, but barely. And they were so juicy. And they are a little, they're spicy. If you don't like anything even slightly peppery, then use sweet paprika instead of the hot paprika and also leave out any cayenne pepper. You could even reduce the black pepper if you really want.
Can I ask you a question?
Belly. Yes, of course, please.
No. Just I'm thinking about lamb, and I'm thinking about lamb burgers. What bad would happen? I'm just curious. What bad would happen if you took the lamb, seasoned it up, and then went more Mediterranean with it? Like, what if you mashed?
Well, this is Mediterranean.
All right. So then, word.
Eastern Mediterranean.
Okay, fine.
But so Mediterranean.
I take it
I
back.
I mean, it's like, you know.
What would happen
Middle
if you
East,
took...
The Middle East borders on the Mediterranean.
You are so right, and so...
Tel Aviv is on the Mediterranean.
All right, other side, okay? what if you took garlic? What if you took rosemary chopped up? What if you took...
Yeah. You could do anything you want with this. I'm just giving you this one because...
Okay.
Because
you know I wouldn't need it.
Years ago when Joyce published this book.
Right.
And here I had the lamb. So, as I said, you could make this with beef, too. I think if you're going to go the rosemary, garlic, I mean, that's pretty much all you would really need. Salt and pepper. I'm not sure what other spice you would put in it, making it Italian or Provençal. It's what you serve it or how you serve it. And I served it very Middle Eastern because I had these great zucchini. This is the moment. The first moment for a zucchini, at least down here in Brooklyn. And they're very sweet this time of the year. And I just steam them. The big one I cut into lengthwise in quarters and then in one-inch intervals for hunks of zucchini. And the smaller ones I just cut in half and then in one-inch hunks. And I steam it. And I think steaming is the fastest possible way of cooking most vegetables. I don't do it for health reasons. I do it for ease and speed. And I put water in the bottom of my pot. I use my little collapsible steamer in there. I put in the zucchini. I turn on the heat, cover the pot. And I would, from the moment I turn on the heat to high, the zucchini is usually done in 8 minutes, possibly nine. And so after 8 minutes, I uncover the pot, I check out the zucchini by tasting a piece, But as soon as you stick your fork into it, you're gonna know if it's done or not. But now that you stuck your fork into it, you might as well take it out and try it to be sure. And that's it. And then I usually they're ever so slightly underdone. I don't want them mushy at all, mm-hmm. but I don't want them firm either. They're going to be ever so slightly underdone. But if you uncover the pot and let them cool down, by the time they cool down, they will have softened perfectly. I made a sauce for all of this. Now, the sauce was initially just going to be for the zucchini, but in the end, it was delicious on the burgers as well. And my sauce was, and by the way, this is a good salad dressing as well. If you don't want to make zucchini, you can sort of put it on anything. I used about a heaping half cup of full strength, meaning full fat, Greek yogurt, which is thick and rich. And I added maybe 2 teaspoons, not even a full tablespoon, or you could use its full tablespoon if you want, of tahini. 1 clove of garlic, very finely minced or chopped, very finely. Or if you want to use that the rasp, the microplane, that's a good thing to use it for. And the garlic has the flavor but not the texture. And then a little salt. I used a couple pinches of salt. Mix that all up very good. And then add enough cold water to thin out the yogurt into a sauce that will pour off of a spoon. Not thin. Not thicker than heavy cream, not as thick as sour cream, but truthfully, the texture you like. I don't like mine too thick, and it is, by the way, a potent thing. So there's no
ranchy texture.
I don't know. You know,
I know some people like thicker,
horrible, but not thin.
Right.
So what? Yeah. Anyway, this is delicious on top of the zucchini. And as I was eating it at room temperature, the yogurt sauce was from yogurt right out of the fridge, but the zucchini was at warm room temperature by the time I got to it. I'm thinking, you know, this would be very good as a cold salad.
Yeah.
And I garnished it. I only drizzled the sauce on top of the zucchini because it looked good that way. And then I garnished it ever so lightly with sumac, which I always keep in my kitchen. That's a Middle Eastern spice. Has a slight, it's red, granulated, and has a slightly lemony, acidic flavor. And I did it mainly for looks, but I also love the taste of sumac. So, that's it. That was such a good dinner. These very juicy burgers. And the burgers, you could have, I would start eating them without any sauce on them, but maybe after a few bites, you'd put some of that yogurt sauce on them. By the way, using strained yogurt, which is what Greek yogurt is, and thinning it out is a totally wonderful thing to do. It's not the same at all as using the more liquid regular yogurt. I mean, the first time I heard it, I said, why don't I just use regular yogurt? It's thin enough. No, it has a viscosity that yogurt does not have.
Right.
Got it?
Got it. No, it
get
sounds...
it, got it, good.
Get it, got it, good. No,
So today I do wish I had an outdoor space to make these. By the way, the same meat mixture, I made them into burgers and I cooked them in my cast iron skillet. I mean, you could press them around a skewer and put them on the... It should be a flattish skewer.
Right.
And cook them, you know, as skewers on the barbecue, because that's normally how kefta is done.
All right, Marshall's cooking us.
Not normally. I shouldn't say that's another way that kefta is done.
Well, like the meat on the grill, we have reached our time to flip.
Yes, I know. So I wish everybody a mindful day. It is Memorial Day. It's not just about eating and having fun.
That's it.
Thank you. Love to Bob. Love to you. And we will talk to you.
Yes, love to everyone.
All right.
Bye. Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, here on Robin Hood Radio. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef with two beautiful teaching classes, and they've got classes to go in those cooking rooms. More information, 518-325-7000, hghomechef.com. And Haven Cafe in Lenox, Massachusetts, offering quality food and excellent service. Also, they feature catering. Supporting local organic farmers, environmentally conscious, and epicurious distributors, havencafebakery.com.